Okay, for roll call. On the phone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. John Rockwell, Deputy Chief Doug Fournier, Chief Pete Malnarek, Mr. Nate Skinner, Tech Sergeant Brandon Schwing, Mr. Brewer, Mr. Dan Monteleone, Agent Mike Lawton, Mr. Sean Kostelnik, Mr. Scott Nelson, Mr. Jim Goodman, Ms. Erin Calwara, Captain Rick Roberts, Mr. Greg Eubank, Agent John Kuna, Chief Bob Ciccarella, Deputy Chief Keith Darien, Mr. Mike Hawkins. Is there anybody else on the phone whose name I did not call?
Sherry, this is Henry Cole with DOT.
Thank you, Henry.
It's Scott Stormo.
Thank you, Scott. Present in Anchorage, I show Mr. Chris Letterman, Mr. Travis Connett, Mr. David Reed. Is there anybody else present in Anchorage whose name I have not called? Okay, that completes the roll call.
Well, Sherry, this is Dave Jones. I sent you an email, Chris and I.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Dave Jones and Chris Martin.
Okay, thank you, Dave and Chris.
Thank you, Sherry. And at this point, I'd like to welcome everybody to the meeting and call the meeting to order. I don't believe I heard any introductions of guests or new members at this time. So we get to move on to the next bullet item, which is review and approve of the July meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review the July meeting minutes. I would like to open the floor for any questions, additions, changes, modifications. For the July meeting minutes. Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the July meeting minutes?
Dave Jones, motion.
One more time, I didn't hear who was motioning and then seconding.
I heard Dave Jones.
Did you get that, Sherry?
I heard Dave Jones as a motion, but I did not hear the second.
Doug Fournier from Fairbanks seconds.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, gentlemen. We move on to review of the issues and risk log. Looking at the issue and risk log, I see no changes from the previous month. And so the next agenda item is the review of the July action items. And I believe there was only one action item on that. Bring it back up. That was the operations management office will distribute its the service level agreement to the council members and request volunteers for a working group. It's been closed since July 2nd. Sherry, do you have the list of the members of the working group at this time?
Yes, we have four right now. We do not have any representation from the DOD, the federal non-DOD agencies. For the munis, we have Chief Bob Ciccarella. For the state, we have Captain Rick Roberts and Mr. Scott Nelson. And for the DOD, we have Tech Sergeant Brandon Schwing.
Excellent. Thank you very much for volunteering. The next agenda item is to Mr. Letterman for the Operations Management Office. Chris?
Thank you, John. My first bullet item for the OMO report is the OMO SMO budget. This was approved by the Executive Council and has been sent over to Scott Stormo. Scott, I don't know, I might be catching you off guard here. Is there anything that you might want to say to that?
No, I mean, at this point, it's something that I have shared with DMVA, and we'll be meeting with them kind of to talk about what it means. And as the governor's FY22 budget gets put together, we'll wait and see if any of the things like the state would need to have increments for, like the SUA and the operating budget, or some money for subscribers and a capital budget. We'll have to wait and see if those make it into the budget. We wouldn't officially know anything about that until the governor announces the budget in December.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Yep.
On the FY21 membership agreements, if you recall from the July meeting, we had mentioned that we were giving DOD a couple more weeks to get finished. At this point, we only have one that's outstanding that is not waiting for Colonel Davis' signature. That is Jay Bear. Under the SLA, we talked about this. John had already mentioned this was the action item of the OMO. We have established a meeting for next week on Tuesday to get started on this. The only thing that I would add, and this is to hearken what Sherry had already mentioned, we still have no federal non-DOD participant. And I know that Captain Roberts was, he expressed some concern there because they are such a large component. I don't know that there's much else we can do other than keep asking for their participation. The quarterly zone controller rollover, we had our first morning of that this morning. Everything went off without incident. I don't know, anything you want to add, Travis, to that?
No, just no issues, and we'll be doing it again tomorrow.
Yep.
To roll it back over.
Yep, everything went relatively smooth, I believe. Mm-hmm. On our next bullet point there, the outreach. So I mentioned this, I think even in June, that we were going to get started on, I was going to get started on an outreach project, campaign, if you will, starting to call agencies. And I've had, I'd say, a fair amount of response from the folks that I've reached out to. And I am concentrating on two specific things. One is website input. For those of you that don't know or didn't realize, under the new contract, one of the components or deliverables, if you will, is to redesign the ALMR website. And so it would make sense that we pull some points of contact and have the voice of the customer represented in that before we go off and start doing something to the website that, you know, might be detrimental to how people are using it. And then the second thing that we're focusing on is asking about training for their individual organizations. And so I'm collecting a lot of notes and information from the folks that I've talked to. Now bear in mind, I'm still in the C's of the POC spreadsheet, so if you haven't been called yet, don't worry, it's coming. The next bullet item is the IC zone communication. This came out of the Executive Council meeting from last month, and it was really discussed as pertinent to do a concentrated effort to get a communication out to the agencies around the IC zone change that we approved in the CONOP plan. I know that Nate has been working on this, and I think, Nate, you're on the phone. Do you want to chime in here with your efforts?
Sure. Just I guess the only real update is we're looking at, we had decided that we had to get something in a date form as far as when we're going to change things for the dispatch center. So I think we're almost there, but of course, as everyone knows, based on the CONOP, we've actually already changed everything. It's just a simple matter of following the transition plan and then getting all the programming done. So we're trying to communicate that out. So I think to expect that we will get that date out here shortly, and then we'll send out something along the lines of a flyer explaining everything with more of the transition plan. Most of you have seen it. And then also, if you do have radios already, you're programming, I know a lot of people have bought some and so forth. If you already need the program, you should just go and program the new stuff in, and you can contact the help desk and they will get you the new, they've already worked on the cheat sheets and gotten that already for what that would look like. So I think that's about covers what we've got so far. And of course, expect all that information on the communication here shortly.
Thank you, Nate. I'm continuing on to the strategic communication plans. Some of you may have noticed or gotten word. Some of the boroughs and cities have, in the locals, have been putting a toe in the water and putting out RFPs for strategic communication plans. And these are, the way they're worded is to assist the local in coming up with a long-term vision for their public safety and other communications under their purview. And I just call it out because I want to make sure that folks understand that this is occurring, and that in the couple that we know about, we have already reached out and spoken to representatives of, and I'm speaking generally of Kenai and Juneau, so that they know AMR, and specifically to Juneau, AMR was actually mentioned in their RFP. So it appears that some, at least Kenai in any regard, was successful in applying CARES Act funding for some of this activity, I should say. And so we may see more of this as the year goes on. So just kind of a FYI to the user council. The IWCE conference is going to be taking place virtually this month, the 24th through the 27th. I'm registered to attend and kind of excited to see how a virtual conference actually works. We are busy during the month of July doing several document reviews. This being my first full month in with Sherry, she's really been a trooper with me and all my questions, and everything that I've been going back and forth with her. We reviewed the OMO customer support plan, the grant guide, the high-level communication strategy, the interoperability policy and procedure 300 TAC 3, and the key management facility policy and procedure 400 TAC 17. Closing out my section of the agenda here with the July system metrics. So we had 1,073,896 group calls. And just for a little interest, I went back and pulled the 2019 stats, and from August of 2019, for the group, we had 1,285,597, so a difference of 211,701 from 2019. That's down this year with the 1,073,000. For Push-to-Talks, we had 2,020,381. In 2019, we had 2,390,837, so a difference of 370,000. And then the July busy count was 289. And in 2019, this is an interesting number, it was 2,223, a difference of 1,934. So whatever was going on in July of last year, it really was stressing the system, it looks like.
Yeah.
And that, John, concludes my section of the agenda. Any questions?
Did we lose John?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking to a mute mic. I apologize. Chris, thank you so very much, as I repeat myself for the second time. And I open the floor for any questions that anybody might have for Mr. Letterman. Hearing none, the next bullet item on our list is the System Management Office, and I open the floor for Travis.
Thanks, John. I just wanted to touch a little bit on an outage we had earlier in the week. We lost, I think, six dispatch sites on JBear. When our technicians was troubleshooting it, they realized it was the fiber ring on base. So it took us a little bit of time to actually track down who was responsible for the ring, the actual infrastructure. But it's a subcontractor for AT&T. They just took over that contract. So working with them, a lot of our as-built and stuff are several years old, and so are theirs. So a lot of that wasn't accurate. So that took, it also took some time for us to track down exactly what was going on. So, but we'll be working with the contractor out there to get more accurate information for us here at ALMR and also the guys out on base. So, and the only other thing I had was the GTR equipment for the next upgrade. We got the first 35 sites delivered last week. Just the GTR racks and the equipment for the GTRs. We're still waiting on the antennas and cable and connectors and that kind of stuff. We'll be doing the kickoff meeting with Motorola tomorrow, and we'll be finding out the schedule of when they're going to kick off and start installing all the equipment. Once we know that, we'll be reaching out to all the dispatch centers and the agencies to once the schedule is fine-tuned, so they're aware of what sites we're going to be working at and the impact on the customers out there. And that's all I got, John, unless anybody has any questions for me.
Thank you, Travis. And so I open the floor for questions for Travis. Travis, I have one question. In the past, when Motorola has created a project schedule, for a major upgrade like this, they've been able to put something that is publishable. Do you know if there's going to be something publishable for the GTR upgrades? As far as
there is, I talked to Mike Ball. He's the same project manager we had for the state for the last system upgrade, and he wants to do the same kind of thing. Put it on the ALMR website. So there'll be a link there with the schedule or anything like that, so anybody can get on there and take a look at it. Talking to Chris, we'll be working with Mike and posting that.
Most excellent. Thank you, sir. Any other questions for Travis? Hearing none, moving on to the next bullet item is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. Mr. Stormo, may I open it with you?
So I think Travis covered a lot of what I would have brought up. We did a lot of microwave upgrades last week from Delta to through Tok up to all the different sites in that area. That caused a lot of outages. That is one place in the state where we don't have any backup path into those sites. So anytime any one of those microwaves go down in a line, every microwave behind it is going to, every LMR site, every network services business network behind that, that outage will be impacted. So appreciate everyone who maybe had to suffer through some of those many outages as that work was done last week, but that is over and done. The new microwave that is in is a different kind of design, so it's more robust than the old type of microwave was. So in theory, it should have a higher reliability than the old microwave had. To follow on with something Travis said and then the SLA conversation that Chris brought up before, my desire coming out of this meeting is to have an SLA type document that clearly states what, you know, my role is as the state infrastructure POC, what exactly my responsibility is. I mean, as specific as possible down to equipment if necessary, and the expectations from the user community as to, you know, what type of response and what type of risk we are or you are willing to take with that. I also would hope that I can see that same type of thing happen down to everyone else that owns infrastructure and not even infrastructure, but end user subscriber equipment. You know, the dispatch centers, there's always opportunity for confusion as to, you know, where something that's covered by, that's provided by the state, or something that's provided by a commercial circuit, or something that's covered by the contract we have with Motorola. There's always confusion in the middle of an outage as, you know, as to who to call and who's responsible for tracking stuff down and fixing stuff. So my hope is that this document can go a long ways towards more clearly identifying that. The current stuff is just a little too generic, and it really is only helpful for people that live it day to day and kind of understand it. So I'm hoping we see a lot come out of that, a lot more detail out of the service level agreement. I didn't hear anyone on there for dispatch. It's not, you know, all of the infrastructure owners were not necessarily represented on that. I heard one DOD rep, but there's four of them that own infrastructure. The munis, you know, owns infrastructure, and then certainly any of the local departments that own dispatch centers would be interested in. I would like to see all that type of stuff documented. And, you know, GPS is on there, and GPS has dispatch centers, and I don't know if Nate was on it or not, but Nate has dispatch centers. So I think in the end, we want to make sure that we clear up as much as possible, so as people turn over, we don't scratch our heads and deal with situations like happened on the Bay Fiber. And even down to the subscribers, like I was saying, you know, I think we need to have something that talks about when they should be, have maintenance done on them and who's responsible for it and how fast we're going to change over to TDMA, maybe even things like that. So I'll jump off of that soapbox for the moment, but I just wanted to express that I think the level of people that we currently have on this, you know, is maybe not big enough to hit what I was just talking about. I may be able to speak for it from the state's perspective, but I don't know that we have the representatives from the other areas to talk to
a local dispatch center or not.
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please continue.
No, that was all I have.
All excellent points, Scott. At this point, I'd like to open up the floor if anybody would like to add to that or discuss any of the issues that Scott brought up. Well, it is something to continue to move toward. I understand the first part of the SLA is just to review the existing SLA and be able to break it into parts, communication plans, timing, infrastructure pieces, and then hopefully as we continue to build this SLA, as Scott strongly suggested, we can get more business owners involved. Anything else, Scott?
No, nothing else from me.
Thank you very much. So I open the floor for questions for Mr. Stormo at this point. Hearing none, we move to DOD. I did not hear Mr. Woodall's name being mentioned in the roll call. Is there someone that can represent DOD at this time? All right. Well, then the next agenda item is new business. I open the floor for any new business that anybody would like to bring up. Any questions or discussions at all that anybody would like to raise at this time? Boy, this is a quiet group today. The next meeting is scheduled for September 2nd and then October 7th. One more time for any either new business or comments or questions. Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Doug Fournier.
Thanks, Doug. And a second, please.
Second, Scott Nelson.
Thank you, Scott. Nate, I kept on hearing you try to say something, but it didn't come in. Anyway, I appreciate everybody's involvement on this, and I look forward to the next meeting. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.